Hi, I'm Darren Stevens, and I want to welcome you to The Secret Tips to Personal Success. I'm really delighted to be able to share these insights with you today. For many years now, I've had the privilege to teach seminars around the world, and I've seen firsthand the enormous impact that these tips have had on people's lives. Now you can enhance your life by embracing these valuable tips. At the end of this tape, I'd like to give you the opportunity to listen to others whose lives have been changed by the Mars Venus Institute's programs. But for now, I'd like to introduce you to a dear friend and colleague, Dr. John Gray, author of the best-selling book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
How to achieve personal success. What is personal success? So much talk about success, having more, doing more, achieving more, accomplishing more. Certainly that's all a part of success, but it's outward success. And there are many, many people, not all, but there are many, many people who have achieved a lot of outward success and they're not happy. They don't have love in their lives. They have no peace or time to enjoy their lives. They're rushing around all the time. They're stressed out, they're distressed, and they're not healthy to enjoy all that they've accumulated. So is that really success? We have to ask ourselves. So much of the time, we think, if I just had this, then I would be happy. That is the formula for failure. It may get you more in the outer world, but it ensures that as you get those things, your life becomes more miserable. What I have found is that people who depend upon outer success to be happy, the more outer success they achieve, the more unhappy they become. Outer success magnifies your inner state. If you can't be happy and loving and peaceful in the life you have now, achieving more, doing more, accomplishing more, getting more, having more will just make you more miserable. And I know that goes in and it sounds like philosophy. Yeah, sure, John, it's easy for you to say you're a multimillionaire. If I just had enough money to pay for that vacation, if I just had enough money to pay that bill, if I could just get from under this mortgage payment, if I could just get out of this situation. You don't understand, everybody at every economic level, no matter how much money, is always looking for more cash. If they're miserable, it's never enough. No matter how much they have, it's never enough. When you're a multimillionaire, you've got a Learjet and you're feeling like, gosh, I don't have enough because I don't have the new Mach 5 or whatever. And then when you get that, then you've got to pay your crew and you've got to pay $30,000 every time you start up your flight to fly somewhere. Then you think, can I really afford flying to Santa Barbara this weekend? I mean, at every level of success, there was always this experience of, I don't have enough, I don't have time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the support, life isn't good enough, and they're miserable. Why? Because they haven't learned first how to be happy. Happiness is a skill in itself. To wake up and be happy even though nothing is going right in your life. That's a skill. That's personal success. That's power. Is when you can have peace in your life amidst chaos. When you can experience love in your life when people hurt you or when they betray you and you find forgiveness. You flow in the current of who you truly are. Our true self is loving. When you're not loving, you're disconnected from your true self and you stop experiencing joy. When you're Your true self is happy, fulfilled. When you're not happy, you're just not disconnected to your true self. Many people think, if I just have this, then I'll be happy. Happiness comes from being yourself. Children don't have to do anything to be happy. That's one of the reasons Christmas time can be so depressing for people. We have these memories of being little children when all you had to do was get a little box with ribbons on it and you were happy. It didn't matter even what was in it, just something, this, that, whatever. Little things made us happy as children. Now, big things, only takes big things. And even when we get the big things after a while, they stop making us happy. And we wonder, where is the happiness? And if you want evidence for why outer success doesn't bring happiness or love or fulfillment or peace of mind, look at the lives of extremely, sometimes we can learn our lessons by looking at extremes. Look at the extremely successful people, the influential people, the people way up in terms of power and influence or celebrity status in our society. And they're written about all the time in Star Magazine, National Enquirer Magazine, all the, quote, tabloids are filled with their stories. People love hearing those stories. It gives us peace of mind to know that they suffer. That's why people want to read all that, quote, trash. They want to hear the trash. They want to see that it's an illusion. It is an illusion. It must be an illusion. They look so good when they're going in. They're going in for an opening, and they're all glamour, and they're dressed all up, and the people are flipping their cameras, and you're thinking, gosh, if I was looking like that and feeling like that, would I be so happy? You don't know. They go in, and they go, look at so-and-so. They're cutting in line in front of me. Why did she get the seat up there? I should have gotten the seat up there. This isn't right. I'm going to talk to my agent. I can't believe this. They're treating me like trash here. I will not stand it. How did she get that part? I can't believe she's winning the Academy Award. What about me? I didn't get it this year. I don't know. You know, it's the greatest misery in the world, the collection of misery, is the night of the Academy Awards. There's so much competitiveness. There's so much jealousy. There's so much hurt. There's so much high stakes. It creates a mess. Now, so what does all this mean? It means that pretty much everybody suffers, but not everybody. There are people who have achieved lots of outer success, and they've achieved inner success as well. And that's what personal success is all about, is being able to find the inner success and let that support outer success. Because just as there's a mass of people who achieve outer success. And I remember being a marriage counselor, being so surprised by this, because here I was, this young guy just counseling people, getting pretty successful, well-known, so more influential and powerful people came. And I was under the illusion that powerful, influential people with lots of money and success are happy. They're not, at least the ones that came for counseling. And they're not that secure either. They have all kinds of anxiety and depression. And you find out they're on medications and they can't deal with life and there's more stress. And you go, wow, I thought somehow they were just, quote, better than me. And therefore, I would never fit in that league. I remember when I was just starting out as a teacher, 19 years old, I had so much fear, so much anxiety about giving talks. My soul said, do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to be in front of audiences. I wanted to help the world. I wanted to influence people. I wanted to give talks. So I was given my first talk. I still remember it. I'd been taught how to teach meditation. It was back in the days of transcendental meditation. It was very popular at that time. I became the youngest teacher of transcendental meditation in the country. And I went to give my first talk after being trained, a three-month training course. And I was so nervous, my knees involuntarily began to shake. I mean, literally started to shake. The world started to spin, and I fainted. Everybody thought I was dead. That's how much anxiety and stress it caused me. The whole, you know, my talk was, develop your full mental potential. And here I died. So I would have given up. I mean, I listened to my soul. My soul said, this is what I was to do in life. I would have given up. I was about to give up, and I read this interview with John Lennon. At the time, the Beatles were the Beatles, and a worldwide phenomenon. They toured. I'd seen them on tour, and they were fantastic. They came out on stage, and in one instant, as soon as they pulled the cover off the drum set, there was a warm-up act, and they pulled the cover off the drum set, and it said, The Beatles. At that moment, everybody in the stadium stood up and screamed for the entire concert. We didn't hear a word they said. You could barely hear the music. It was in the background. Everybody was screaming. And I was this guy, and I was saying, I'm not going to scream. What's all this screaming stuff? But I started screaming. It was a phenomenon. Everybody was screaming. And the Beatles were out there, and they're doing their thing, and they're moving back and forth. Literally, they didn't even have to be playing music. They could have just put on the music in the background. Nobody would have known. They could have been lip-syncing for all they care. They didn't have to do anything but just walk out there. John Lennon explained in this interview in the Rolling Stone that the Beatles had stopped touring because they experienced too much anxiety. He would throw up, literally throw up before every performance. There would be so much stress, so much anxiety. You know, when the stakes are bigger, the fears are bigger. That's what we have to understand. The more outer success, it magnifies our inner state. If you have issues in a relationship and you get married, marriage is like the big, in relationships, the big million-dollar check or whatever, you get married, suddenly your issues become magnified. So many couples, right after they get married, all these problems come up, and they go, where did they come from? The problems were already there. When we think marriage is going to answer our problems, once we get married, our problems not only come back, but they come back magnified. When we have outer success, whatever issues we have inside, they come back magnified. Life becomes more difficult. I remember one saint reading, praying to God, God, I pray that I only become successful after I'm dead. because he understood the hassles that come with being successful in the outward world. And this is the way the world used to be. The only happy people were not successful. And the powerful, influential people were corrupted by power. Their lives were filled with drama, intrigue, lying, cheating, hurtfulness. History is filled with abuse of powerful people. And yet, we're taught, if you want to be successful in life, be a good person. Be loving, be kind, be forgiving, open the door for others so they get there first, and take what you want. Turn the other cheek, let them do it to you again and again and again. All this nice loving stuff. And you know what all this nice loving stuff will do? If you do it correctly, it'll make you happy. But it will not make you successful in the outer world. To not do those things is the secret of being successful in the outer world. That's why if you want happiness in your life, don't seek success out here. First, find the power within yourself to be loving. Know yourself as a loving being. Test yourself as a loving being. Find your power to be happy with what you have now. Find your power to feel confident with what the challenges are in your life now. Then what will happen is then you have the basis for outer success. So here I was as this young guy and feeling all this anxiety, insecure. You know, my fears were coming up. Insecure, am I right? Am I not? Am I going to do it right? Hearing this interview with John Lennon changed my life. In that here was a famous, successful person. He also had fear. I didn't know that. You see people when they come out on stage, they don't say, hey, I was throwing up before the performance because I'm so scared. They got the makeup on, they got the attention, now they're focused in their professional mode and they move ahead. They don't share all their feelings. Otherwise you go, oh, who cares about John Lennon? He's just like me. You put on the appearance, you go out there and you do it. So many people don't have success in the outer world because they don't know that to have success in the outer world doesn't mean you're always going to feel ready. It doesn't mean you're always going to do it right. It doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect. You have to have the courage to be able to face that. But unless you understand what goes on inside of successful people, you don't have that courage. And if we don't have role models of success in our lives, it's very hard to even see the picture of how I could do that. That's why it's very important to achieve personal success, to try to be around people who have outer success and people who have inner success. If best, try to be around people who have both. That's the real secret of finding both. For me, I was very wonderful. I've been around many wonderful teachers in my life who have a great degree of outer success, a great degree of inner success. So I had a picture. I saw that this is possible. And because it was possible, I knew that I could achieve it. But clearly, I always remind myself when I suffer too much, John, you're looking out for your happiness instead of looking in for your happiness. You have the power to find that happiness inside. And by the end of this class, you will have the power and know exactly what to do in order to turn inside so you can awaken your ability to love, your ability to be happy, your ability to be confident, your ability to have peace in your life. And when you have those elements, then you're in your true self. Then when you feel what you want, that's the secret. Then when you feel what you want, it all starts to come together. It all starts to come together. There are four elements of personal success. The first being, be aware of coming back to your true self, being fulfilled in your life where you are now as a basis move ahead. That's called setting the right intention. If your intention is just to make money, then you'll do that, but you're not going to be happy. If your intention is just to be happy, you'll be happy, but you won't have the money. You won't have the success. You won't have the partner in life. You won't have the opportunities that you want to express your God-given gifts. I've been around the world in the last few years, 10 times, and going to different indigenous cultures, places where they don't have TVs, various places, studying all different types of people. And what I've learned is there's a lot of people in this world who are extremely peaceful, extremely loving, healthy, and happy, who have no outer success. If you let go of the need for out there and you focus on what's inside, you have a greater chance of being happy. Yet these people live in poverty. Yet they don't have the wonderful things that we have. And some people say, why is this so wonderful? Of course this is wonderful. Nice outfits, nice cars, nice meals, nice gourmet meals, nice ocean to swim in, nice airplane ride to a vacation. This is the luxuries of life. We should all have it. Life can be a luxurious, wonderful experience. We all deserve it. We're entitled to it. It's there for us. And it adds to our happiness. But we're not dependent upon it. So the people in the cultures, and in this culture, even in America, there are many people who are very content in their lives, they're happy in their lives, they're good people, but they wonder, why don't I get the extras in life? Why am I not getting the perks? What am I missing? And they are missing something. And what they're missing is the skills, the knowledge of how to have both. And what I want to say very clearly is prior to this time, only very few people could have both. It was a very unique thing in this world to have power and love at the same time. The loving people were weak, they were victimized. And the victimizers were powerful and strong and abusive, but they had power, but they had no love. To have both those things together is now the possibility of everybody on this planet, but only because a change has taken place in our consciousness. There is a global shift in consciousness. This shift occurs every once in a while at each level of the growth and development of human consciousness. If we just go back 1,000 years ago, we see that people did not believe that the earth was round. They couldn't comprehend that the earth was round. There were many people that knew this was true. Other people just wouldn't believe it, couldn't get it. And if they even spoke about the world being round, the world the way it was then, they would be burned at the stake. It wasn't even safe to give their new ideas because people were too threatened by them. People couldn't yet comprehend how to do something, that the world could be round. They couldn't comprehend that when the sun moves across the sky, that it's not really moving. Now, we all know that. Our children know that. We learned, we have the ability to comprehend that around 7 years old. The greatest minds on this planet 1,000 years ago were just learning to comprehend that the sun does not move across the sky. This is the greatest minds. Now, a 7-year-old experiences that. You all experienced it. You remember that time when you're going along around 6 or 7, and the moon is rising, and you're driving in the car, and you look off to the side, and you go, the moon's following us, Mommy. Anybody have an experience like that? Raise your hands if you did. You know that experience? That's the awareness. A child sees the moon move. It must be, how's it following us? And after a few questions in a few weeks, the brain makes the shift, and the child can start to comprehend the moon isn't following us. It's at a distance, and we are moving, and it appears to be following us, but it doesn't really follow us. So we're able to pierce the illusion. The illusion that we're able to pierce now, right now, the shift is taking place in mankind, is that this outer world is not what makes us happy. It appears to be making us happy, but it's what's inside that makes us happy. And as soon as we really get that illusion, that that's an illusion, then we stop always looking to the outer world to be happy, and we look to ourselves. And there's a process. Once you start looking, well, how do I find happiness? There's a process to do it that would not have worked 5 years ago. What I'll be sharing with you today, I've been teaching for lots of people over 28 years, and it only worked for a few people. Now it works for everybody. There's a change which has taken place. And what was information and knowledge and tools that were for very rare people and only would work for them or will work for everybody. Another example of one of these shifts is the ability to comprehend algebra. Abstract thinking. This was the birth of science. People prior to science were all into concrete thinking. They could only comprehend what they could hold, what they could see, what was in form. An abstract idea was not possible for the mass of consciousness. Then it became common sense. Common sense. Things like algebra developed. Common sense. Yet still, you cannot comprehend algebra until you're about 13 years old. There's a shift that takes place in the consciousness. Actually, it's a little brain shift, consciousness shift in every child around 13 or 14, sometimes at 12. They shift from being able to focus on concrete thinking to abstract thinking. And that shift takes place Thursday at 4 o'clock for one child, Saturday at 2 o'clock. It just shifts. One day they couldn't, next day they can. And nothing else has changed in their life. They don't act differently. They don't react differently. They don't feel differently. It's just a little valve opened up inside their brain that says, if somebody comes along and teaches me algebra, I'll be able to learn it. But if nobody comes along and teaches me algebra, I'm going to be that same kid who doesn't know algebra. We have to have someone teach us who knows, point out the way. We have the potential, but we have to be led. We have to be shown how to do it. But if we're shown too soon, let's say before Saturday at 2 o'clock, the brain hasn't made that shift, and you try to teach a child algebra before they're ready to learn it, they begin to form the belief they can't do it, they can't do it, they can't do it. And a lot of us, maybe we were encouraged to be successful in our lives, to have it all, and it didn't work, and it didn't work, Maybe some of the techniques I'm going to suggest you tried and they didn't work and they didn't work. So you think, why bother? They didn't work then, but they'll work now. And this is the openness that we have to receive and to develop this new potential that we're seeing in the world today. This shift takes place in a variety of arenas, like that rising increased amount of divorce. Why is there so much divorce and dissatisfaction in relationships today? Not because people are less loving, it's because people are more loving. Men and women 50 years ago didn't care about talking to each other. There weren't classes on improving your communication. Women didn't care about talking to their husbands. There weren't books all around about keeping lasting passion and knowing how to create romance. People didn't care about that. They knew it fizzled out after the first few months, and that was it. It was all, you know, these things were not important then. Passion was not a part of life. Survival and security were part of life. But what happens is when a civilization develops to the point where survival and security are within our reach, a shift takes place. And this shift has now taken place, where we're able to shift from just repetitive thinking, where we repeat what other people tell us, where we react to what was done to us. See, therapists, psychiatrists, for many years were saying, you are limited by your childhood. What was done to you, you continue to do. If you go to the Eastern cultures, what you did in a past life is what's going to happen now. We are limited to our karma. This is all out-of-date thinking. It is true, but if we connect with our true self, which now we're able to do, true self is like learning algebra. It's experiencing who we are instead of who we are through the eyes of other people. When you find your true self, you get to what we could call creative consciousness. Creative consciousness as opposed to the collective consciousness. The collective consciousness is you just repeat what everybody else does. You do what everybody else does. You are limited by what circumstances are around you. You are limited by your parents. You're limited by your genes. You're limited by the opportunities that you have. This idea of creative consciousness is coming to your true self, and you find that every person is unique, special, and they come into this world with a packet, a little packet of seeds. Now, if you're a gardener, you know you order the seeds, and it's just a little bag. And in that bag are these little seeds. And they'll do nothing. You can keep them in your garage and they'll do nothing for their lifetime. They don't sprout, they just sit there doing nothing. Until you take the seeds out of the packet, plant them in the right soil at the right time with the right amount of water. You protect them from the winds. You nourish them. Don't let them get too cold, not too hot. And they grow stronger and stronger and stronger and they come out. We are now at a place where every single person has the ability, if nurtured, to express their inner packet of seeds. And what Einstein would have called that is your inner genius. This is a model that comes from Einstein, where he described the collective consciousness and then the genius consciousness. And the geniuses of every generation, of every age, have always stretched the consciousness of the people of the world. They would think a little bit differently. They got out of the box that we're all in, and they saw the world a little differently. And then a few generations later, everybody sees that. E=mc², all Einstein's theories. In a few years, even right now, they tell me, kids in high school, kids in junior high school, are starting to understand all of Einstein's theories of relativity, which I have no comprehension of because nobody sat down and taught me. And as I say to my kids, my brain is pretty full of information. So I only have certain new information that I'm really interested in, and I'll take that in. Because they always say things like, you don't even know who this group is, this band is. And I say, there was a period of my life where I knew every rock and roll band, and there's a part of my brain that's segmented for rock and roll bands. And it's full. So if I've got to remember the name of the new rock and roll bands, then I've got to forget the old stuff and put the new stuff in. I don't want to forget the old stuff. I like that old stuff. So I got that part of my brain is allotted and it's full. But we have another part of our brain, which is this creative part, which is our gifts. And we all have it, and we have to awaken those gifts. And those gifts are awakened when we experience love, when we experience happiness, we have joy in our lives, and we feel confident. When we can create those positive feelings, then our chances of making our dreams come true are possible. Otherwise, there's no possibility. We were stuck in the same routine that our family has been into, that our level of life was in. In a sense, the birth of America was the beginning of this new awareness that an individual is not limited by their family or circumstances. You can be born into a poor family and you can become the most successful person in the world. You can be born with limitations and you can rise above those limitations and you can be great. This is, in a sense, the whole idea that gave birth to America. It's the whole idea of personal success. You have the power within yourself to make all your dreams come true, but only you can do it. And you have to learn how to do it. That's why we need help. We need help to show us how to do it, but we have to do it. So that's setting the right intention. The second step, once you have a clarity about setting the right intention, and we're going to go in more depth about what your true self is and how to get to that created place. The second step is getting what you need. In a sense, setting your intention, if you're going on a car trip, is looking at the map and saying, this is where I want to go. Everybody else has gone here and here and here, and this is where I've been going, but I want to go to this new place. You've got to know what your intention is, be clear of the picture, be reminded of it again and again and again. You know, keep focusing on that. Setting your intention. The next step, you got in the car, you know where you're going, you got to fill up your car with gas. That's, you've got to get what you need. In order to be in touch with your true self, in order to create positive feelings, it doesn't just happen by willing it, although willing it is part of it. Intention is part of it. It also means we have to get what we need. And what do we need for our car to run, for us to function, to get in touch with those seeds and let them sprout? We need love. Love is the most important ingredient that we need. Now, do we need love in order to get our goals in the outer world? No. We can hate everybody and everybody can hate us, and we can still be successful. And we'll learn why people can be successful that way. But if you're going to be successful in the outer world and come from your true self and be authentic and be loving and be happy and have peace in your life and make decisions not in your head but also in your heart so you make the world a better place instead of abuse the world, to achieve that end, you need love. We all need love. And we need 10 different kinds of love. One kind will not do the trick. One kind of love makes us sick if that's all we ever get. It's like if you were to only eat one food over and over and over, after a while, it would not do it for you. Matter of fact, after a while, you'd probably become allergic to that food, but you'd still want it, and it would just make you sicker and sicker. You'd want it, but you'd be allergic to it. You can't just get one. Too much of a good thing is a bad thing. The right amount is a good thing. So it looks like this. We're going to go into greater detail in a later class. But the needs are like this. Let's say we have the need for relationship. That's one of our needs. The need for love in a relationship, a partnership. That's what I call a love tank. As long as that love tank is filling up, you're happy. It doesn't matter if your other love tanks are empty. We have 10 love tanks. Another love tank is self-love. Do I love myself? Am I autonomous? Do I do what I want to do in the world? Most women, your love tank for self-love is very low. You've been raised, unfortunately, women are raised to think of others first and not themselves. You already have DNA that makes you think of others first and not yourselves. That's the oxytocin hormone in your body. I'll demonstrate oxytocin for you right now. Imagine that I bring out a little baby. My wife just had a baby. I bring out my little baby. He's my little baby. What's your response? That's right. I didn't hear any men talking. Men are kind of like, you want me to hold it? How do I do that? Okay. The women are, give me that baby. Let me hold that baby. Oh, all this good feeling starts coming up. That's oxytocin. You're born with that hormone. It's a good hormone. And the downside of that hormone is it makes you give too much. So what parents have to know is how to raise little girls so they know that they come first. They come first. They have to have a sense of who they are. And when do you develop the strongest sense of who you are? When is the most important time for that? Your 20s. Most women of previous generations got married in their 20s. Instead of thinking about what do I want, they're now thinking about what does he want, their husband. And then they have children. Now what are they thinking about? What do their kids want? And thinking about this person, thinking about this person, this child. They cannot think about what they want. So then they get to about 45 and they're very unhappy. They say, I've given and given and given. I've got nothing. I got to live my life for me. The highest rate of divorce is age 28. Why? Because right around 28 is the time where we're now getting ready to really, our soul is ready to get involved in a committed relationship. The 20s is a time to find out who we are. Once you have a strong sense of self, then you're willing to share yourself with another. But if you started sharing too soon, Then as you get into your 30s, even the thought of sharing, you start to feel like, wait a second. I got to think about who I am and what I need. I've been giving up too much, and causes power struggles, and often there's a divorce because of that. Doesn't mean you can't get through it. If you get married young, it means that you have definite obstacles and you have to compensate by making sure you take time for yourself, time to do what you want to do. That's called self-love. And that's when you start looking in the mirror and going, I like that person. You only start liking that person when you start doing the things you want to do. If all the time you're doing things other people want you to do, then you're completely dependent upon what other people think. And if you're dependent upon what other people think, then you're dependent upon what the magazines say is beautiful. You got to let go of depending on other people, coming back to what do I think. Then you look in the mirror and you say, wow, look how great I look. Then you do what you do and you go, that was a good job. Then you see a picture of yourself, there I am, look at me. You love yourself. That's self-love. You feel good about yourself. And most important, you make a mistake, you go, everybody makes mistakes. Even the greatest people in the universe make mistakes. I can make mistakes. It's okay. I forgive myself for making that mistake. Self-forgiveness comes when we love ourselves. So what happens when we don't love ourselves? Quite often we go, oh, if I don't love myself, let me find somebody who'll love me. So we rush into a relationship, someone loves us, and as long as that love tank for relationships is filling up, we feel great. Doesn't matter if we don't love ourselves, they love me. Doesn't matter if I have no family, that's another love tank. Doesn't matter if I have no friends, doesn't matter if I forget my friends. Women do this all the time. They get with a guy and they drop all their friends. It's like then they resent all this stuff. Look, she didn't even care about me. The reality is she's so empty that when she starts filling up a tank, it feels so good. All the attention goes to that one tank. And as it's filling up, filling up, filling up, you feel good, 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 good. But as soon as the tank is full, a shift takes place. And you become aware of the emptiness of the other tanks. And suddenly you're no longer in love. And now you're expecting your partner to fill up the other tanks. And a relationship cannot do anything but fill up one tank. They can't make you love yourself more. They can't be your best friend. They can't be your therapist. You can't be their therapist. You can be their partner in life, and that's a role. And it creates a lot of problems when we look to one person for all of our love needs. We shouldn't, and it's a mistake. So what happens is we start looking for love over here and getting it, then we get attached to it here, we stop looking for love in the other places. So whenever you're suffering, you are not getting, it's like the car is struggling or the car won't start. You don't have any gas. And where is the gas? You have to look somewhere else. And that's the secret of getting what you need. What you need is always available to you. It's just you're looking in the wrong direction. I've counseled people now for over 28 years. Nobody I've ever counseled did not have exactly what they needed in their life. Quite often they refused to look at it. They weren't ready to look at it. They weren't willing to open. They had resentment. They rejected it. They were minimizing it. Quite often when a woman doesn't love herself, for example, one of the issues, if she has betrayal in her life, and we're going to look at how to overcome some of these blocks. If betrayal is an issue for her from early age, then she cannot trust. She didn't learn to trust. That's a skill. It comes from getting support at a young age. We learn to trust. When we can't trust, it doesn't mean that we face life and we don't trust. What it means is when somebody comes along that we can trust, we don't trust them. When somebody comes along that we can't trust, we shouldn't trust, it's not intelligent to trust, we trust them. That's what it means to have a trust issue. And it's all about betrayal. It's a block that we have to learn to heal within ourselves. We can't go to our parents and expect them to do it. They had their chance when we were young. And in many cases, they did more damage than good. Some cases it was neutral, some cases they did a lot of good. But regardless, once we get into our 20s, we now have the power to make up for any deficiency in our past. We can get what we need. We have to do it. We can't expect someone else to do it. So that's the first thing, set our intention. The second thing is get what we need. The third element of personal success is know what you want. Discover your true desires. Find your little packet of seeds. Know what you really want. And when you know what you really want, when you connect with what you really want, that's all you think about. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. That's what I want, that's what I want. Everything you hear, everything you think is always related to what you want. When you're in touch with a true desire. Anybody who's achieved outer success knows, they all know, the symptom of somebody who's gonna be successful. They really want it. They want it, they eat it, They sleep it, they drink it, they love it, they everything it. That I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. That's what I want, that's what I want. And it's not a desperate want. See, if you want something, you have confidence, it doesn't make you miserable. It makes you happy. See, the whole Eastern thought that if you have desire, that it will bring you misery. Because they saw all these people who were successful, who were always wanting things, and they're miserable. And it's a very simple thought. If you just give up desire, then you stop being unhappy. Because why are we ever unhappy? Well, what's our experience of why we're unhappy? Because I wanted something and I didn't get it, so I'm unhappy. I mean, I want to be number one as an author. And when I'm not at that number one spot on the New York Times list or whatever, when I think I'm going to be on there and I go off or whatever, I'm so disappointed. I like, oh, I feel pain. And then I know how to heal that pain by just feeling the feeling and letting go and saying, okay, fine. I've been there, done it. I'm happy. I want to be back. We'll see when I get back. What do I do? And I solve the problem. But I feel the disappointment. Many of us are afraid to even say what we really want. We don't want to admit it to ourselves. We many times don't admit to anybody else, which is sometimes very wise. When I was asked about Men from Mars, I finally got a New York publisher for my Men from Mars book. I said, well, how many books do you expect to sell? First thought that came up to me, 10 million. At that time, no hardback books had sold 10 million. One or two was very, very rare. There were 10 books that had sold like over a million in hardback. And first, my first thought was 10 million. If I'd said that, they would have thought, okay, California Looney Tunes here. Forget this guy. So I said, I want to sell a million books and be on that bestseller list. And they said, good, that's a good goal, because that had been done. You see, people think within what's been done, what's possible. I was listening to the creative part of me and what felt right to me. I mean, I felt right there, this is going to be it. And then when it didn't even get on the bestseller list, took almost a year before it was on the bestseller list, I was depressed, I was upset, I can't believe it. I thought I was going to have it, I was going to do it. So I had to work through my disappointment. I had to work through my fears and come back and believe in myself and continue to push, continue to move ahead, continue to believe in myself. And I learned a very important message. If you want others to believe in you, you have to first believe in yourself. And so as people continue to reject or not be that interested in me, I had to let go of my resistance to them. I had to feel my feelings, let go of my negative feelings, and embrace the world again. I had to come back to what is it I really want. So many people lose touch with their heart's desire. They glimpse it. This is what I want. It's like the old story of the Aesop's fable, the fox. The fox wants the grapes. It's called the sour grape story. I want those grapes. I want those grapes. Oh, look at the grapes. I'm going to get those grapes. He goes to get the grapes. He can't get the grapes. There's an obstacle. He can't get those grapes. So he goes, ah, I didn't want those stupid grapes anyway. Who cares about grapes? Grapes will make you sick. I don't need that. I got other things. And that's sour grapes. So much of our lives are based on sour grapes. We can't get something we want, so we go, well, then I don't want it. Many times we're indifferent to life simply because we wanted it, we couldn't get it, so we stop feeling that we want it. How do you come back to your true wants and make the necessary adjustments? Like, okay, I want to be this bestseller. I'm not. Go through disappointment, let it go. Come back to, I want to be this bestseller. Let me try this to give you a bestseller. Or maybe I wanted to sell 10 million. Well, maybe I have to settle with 5. But somehow when I come back to my truth inside, it was 10 million. Now today, Men from Mars has sold 10 million books around the world. It was in the last decade, the biggest selling book of the entire decade was that Men from Mars book, and it continues to be a bestseller all around the world, continues to sell very, very strong. Germany, for example, still in the top 10 ever since it came out. And in Germany, they didn't even put the title Men from Mars, Women from Venus. It was something very uncreative, like it is, the translation is, men are different and so are women. But it continues to go because that book is a part of me. And I continue to grow. People always say, how do you keep it up? How do you keep doing things? You keep creating new things and moving ahead and moving ahead. Because I'm a plant. I'm growing. I'm growing. I'm growing. I didn't just spurt and I die. I'm always growing. I'm always watering. We have this limited notion that we sort of achieve we get educated and then we're ready for life and we settle in. Come on, we're always growing. I don't even expect to develop my full power until I'm 56. That's when I really push forward and make the big difference in the world. That's when all the love tanks can be fully filled, because they develop as the years pass, and we'll explore that. Getting what we need in order to be connected to my true self. For example, you may love your children, you may do everything right for your children, you may be the perfect parent, but if that day your child doesn't get enough food, they'll go nuts. They'll act out, they'll be crazy, you ask them to do things, they'll be unruly, and you go, what did I do wrong? You just didn't feed them. Or they didn't get enough sleep. If they don't get enough sleep, every child has certain needs. If they don't have a rhythm of certain getting their rhythm and they get their sleep at the right time, if they don't get that sleep, no matter how good you are, no matter how wonderful you are, no matter how reasonable your request is, they're going to go bananas on you, ballistic on you. They're just going to fight you. And you go, what did I do wrong? I remember raising my children, one of my children, when we went to Sweden to teach a seminar and brought our young child along. And I was using all my enlightened parenting techniques, and they're very, very cooperative children. I never used will to break their will. This is the problem with parenting, and the problem for a lot of us is our wills were broken by our parents, by the threat of punishment. Instead of asking a child to cooperate, you will do it because I'm the boss, and you will do this. And we suppress the little child's will, and we suppress the will, the child loses touch with what they truly want. No longer is it what I want. It's what you want. And our children need to have the opportunity to find out what they want, even starting at a young age. And there's a whole art to doing that. You don't just ask a child, okay, what do you want? We'll do that. It doesn't work that way. You tell a child what we're going to do. Then when the child resists, if they resist, you honor that resistance and you look at what the feelings are. Then you come back to saying, and this is what we're going to do. Because ultimately, inside of every child, we are born with a prime directive. Like on Star Trek, the prime directive of the universe, of the council, whatever. Every child has the prime directive. And that prime directive is to cooperate with your parents. We all want to please our parents, and we all need their guidance and direction. This is, we're born this way. We bond within this way. We come out, and we are programmed to please them and to get their support, because it's their support that helps us get what we need to know who we are. So how do you get their support? You please them. Wanting to please your parents is a wonderful thing. And psychologists will say, oh, no, you shouldn't encourage the children want to please the parent. This will make people pleasers. And I go, are you kidding? Have you counseled a people pleaser? Every people pleaser I've ever counseled was never able to please their parents. If you're able to please your parents, then you have a sense of success, then you have a sense of who you are, then you know what you want again. The weak wills become the codependent, the people pleasers, and a lot of the women who are taught you always have to please everybody else. And that's fine if you're successful and you're given permission to have your own will and to say what you want and do what you want, or at least have input. So what we have to do with our children is give them will, let their will thrive instead of trying to squash it. We all, to a certain extent, have had our will squashed. So how do we awaken it? We have to give ourselves what an enlightened parent today needs to give their children, which is when life doesn't give us what we want, we need to be honest about our feelings, look at our feelings, get in touch with what we want, and adjust our wants. That's it. Then you come back to your true want. And the true want that we all have as children, it's a big part of who we still are, the true want we have is to please our parents. The true we want is to have our parents' love. If we weren't able to please our parents, if we couldn't get their love, then as adults, what we have to learn to do, now we're different, we're not children anymore, as adults, we go back and feel those feelings, we feel that desire to please our parents, and then we tell our little child inside, you know what? Your parents just can't be pleased. It's not your fault. It's their fault. And that's a new idea for a child. What? You mean it's not my fault? It's their fault? It's not my problem? It's their problem? But they always look at me like I'm the problem. I go, nope, you're never the problem. They're the problem. And when you realize that you're not the problem, oh, okay. You come back to realizing the truth of who you are. You are from heaven. That's the title of my newest book, which is coming out. Children are from heaven. We're all from heaven. The creative is heaven. The whole person who invented this notion of heaven, Jesus, who brought this idea around, he was saying, heaven is in you. The kingdom of heaven, this place you're looking for, it's inside of you. Now, what does that mean translated into terms today? It means happiness is an attitude. It's not about out here, it's inside. You want happiness? Don't go out there. Go inside. And when you have happiness, then plant your seeds. That's when you plant your seeds. Like, women have got the right idea. When it comes to sex, they don't want quickies. They say, let's have a romantic evening. Let's be really happy. Then plant your seed. I just had to do it. It's all in the timing. It's all in the timing, you know. We get what we need. When we get back to our true self, then we have to ask ourselves again and again, what is it that I want? What is it that I want? And even if it doesn't seem that practical, if it's what your dream is, you go for it, and life teaches you what is practical. Okay, and then your wants become more honed to what's realistic. But you've got to keep feeling what you want. And when you're in touch with what you want, then you start moving ahead in life. Sour grapes keeps us from being in touch with what we want. Childhood conditioning keeps us from being in touch with what we want. Being a people pleaser keeps us from getting in touch with what we want. Attachment. Some of us, our nature is just to cling and hold on. That's what we have to learn, understand the love tanks. Whenever you're suffering in relationship, it's time to let go temporarily and look somewhere else for love. If I'm grumbling about my wife, I don't even work on the relationship. I go, I'm looking in the wrong direction. We've got a great relationship. I just go, let go, just put it on hold, do something to make me feel good that's not dependent on her. And then when I'm feeling good, I go back and reevaluate the situation. It's not a big deal. Most of the time couples fight, they make a big deal out of nothing. Don't tell them that though. And don't tell a woman that particularly. You listen. But we all know in retrospect, we laugh about the things in the past. We get these big upsets, hurricanes come through in our relationships, and afterwards we go, what was that thing that upset me? You can't even remember what was so bad, and you try to tell somebody, it just seems so little, because it is little. But when we're not getting what we need elsewhere, little things become mountains. So we just have to shift gears. Sometimes I just have to go have fun and go to a movie, a guy movie, a movie that my wife wouldn't want to see. Kind of pumps up me, who I am. Want to go fight the battle, save the world, blow up all the bad guys, come home. All right, feeling like quite a champion now. All right. What can I do for her? When we get back in touch with what we need, when we get what we need, then we feel more loving. Then what we want, we can act based on what we want. So we don't feel like we have to have this. We can be more flexible. We can be more flexible. Another block to what we want is doubt. That's why that John Lennon interview was so important for me. Is understanding that John Lennon and the Beatles, they all had tremendous fear, and yet they were hugely successful. I had fear. That didn't mean that I couldn't be successful. People will start to doubt their abilities simply because they have fear. And there's a technique there, and so they stop wanting what they want. They go, oh no, I have too much fear. Two techniques. One is, what would you do if you had no fear? And just make a list. What would I do if I had no fear? What would I want if I had no fear? Another thing to do, people hold back from their dreams because they feel limited by circumstances. Look at what you would do if you didn't have all these limits. So many times we're saying, yes, I can't have that because, I can't have that because. I mean, if you had $1 million or $100 million, what would you do? Okay, I'd go to Hawaii. And what would you do in Hawaii? I'd sit by the ocean and I'd sip pina colada. Well, you know, there's a pool down the street. You can go sit in the sun and go by the pool and sip some pina colada there. It's pretty close. You don't need all that money to do that. There are ways, because if you really look at, if I had that, what would I do? How would it make me feel? You can have those feelings right away. You can follow any goal down the line. Let's say I want to have a fancy car. But why do you want that fancy car? Well, I just want a fancy car. Well, why? Well, it makes me feel important. Okay, so you want to feel important, right? Yeah, I want to feel important. What else do you want from that fancy car? Speed. Okay, you want to get somewhere fast. Okay, I want to get there fast. Okay. Speed, fancy car. How does speed make you feel when you're going fast? Excited, passionate, focused. Okay, so what you really want is to be excited, passionate, focused, feel like a good person. You don't need that car to feel excited, passionate, focused. You can have that today. Go into your office and be excited, passionate, and focused. And we're going to learn how to do that. When you can be excited, passionate, and focused, if that's what you want, you can have it now. Something's going to happen. You're going to get a check in the mail. I promise you, you'll get a check in the mail. Something's going to happen, and you can go buy that car. The outer world starts to reflect your inner state. If what you want is something to make you happy, and you're already happy, but you want something out there to make you happy, it comes to you. If you're unhappy and you want something out there to make you happy, it doesn't come to you. Unless you just let yourself be completely miserable, give up who you truly are, stop being a loving person, then focus just on what you want, you'll get what you want, but you'll never be satisfied. Because you're not really getting what you need. What we need first is love to come back to our true self, then focus on what is it that we want. Another technique with doubts is always doubt your doubts. See, if you're a doubting person, then you're good at doubting. So, doubt your doubts. I'm a doubting person. I use this technique a lot. Whenever I have a little anxiety, a little fear, I go, okay, what are my doubts? I doubt this, I doubt this, I doubt this. And then I say, do you know that to be true? Well, I don't know for sure that I'm gonna fail. I don't know for sure that people won't like me. I don't know for sure that I'll be late. I don't know for sure that I really have to do this. So you question what you think is true. And the truth is, whenever you're feeling fear, you don't know. It's always about something in the future. And you never know the future. So just start being aware. I'm telling myself I do know that bad things are going to happen. But the truth is, I don't know. So let me just acknowledge, I don't know. Could be bad, so let's look at all the bad things. Now let's look at the positive. What could happen on the positive side? And as you start looking at what's going to happen on the positive side, positive energy starts coming in to help you create what it is that you want to happen. Another element of being successful is when you're in touch with your true feelings, your true want, positive feelings come up. Then opposition comes. Now, first of all, let me say that when you're in touch with positive feelings, you tend to attract positive things, without a doubt. But you don't always. When you're in touch with your true wants, there will be roadblocks, setbacks, obstacles that show up. Even when you're right on track, when doing what your soul's here to do. Because besides getting what you need and doing what you want and having what you want, there's another person to being here, another reason for being here on this planet. We are here to grow. Our soul, who we are, our soul. There's our mind, there's our heart, there's our body, there's our will, there's our soul. Our soul also has needs. It wants to grow. It wants to become more loving. It wants to become more responsible. It wants to become more generous. It wants to become more courageous. It wants to become more strong. All these are qualities and many, many more. All the good things it wants. How does it grow in its ability to love? You don't become more loving by having everybody love you. See, if everybody just loves you, you stay the same. It's when somebody doesn't give you what you want, then you have to overcome your resistance to continuing to love them. See, love is to embrace something even if it's not perfect. So when you experience life's imperfections, that's a challenge to become more loving. For me, to be confident. I want to be so confident. I want to know myself. I want to have confidence that I can affect people in a positive way. So my soul wants that confidence. How did it build it? Gave me this little body, this innocent little face, went out and all these people mistrusted me. They said, what can this young guy have to say for me? And I had to bump up against that and believe in myself and believe in myself and prove myself and prove myself and prove myself again and again and again till finally I believed it. And when I started believing it, the whole world started believing it. Because I had to butt up against it and butt up against it and butt up against it. It doesn't happen easy, but the process can be fun and a little struggle. The process can be loving and a little hate. All the opposites are there, but you learn to feel them and let them go. You feel them and let it go. There is no place, plateau, where you're only happy, you're only confident, you're only feeling good, you're only loving. It doesn't exist. The only place that exists, the only people that experience that, they're up at the top of the hill, buried. You want peace of mind all the time? You go there. That's where the peace of mind exists. When you start to go for what you want, you will have a lot of support because it's your soul's desire, your true desire. But along with the support, you will have obstacles. But the beautiful thing is you'll have what you need to overcome those obstacles. And in overcoming those obstacles, your soul will grow and you will be a better person. The beautiful example of this is the story of the truth, what happens with a butterfly. Before a butterfly emerges from the cocoon, it experiences a great struggle. You see the little cocoon and it's coming out and it pokes and it tries to get out and there's this cocoon and huge struggle. You go, gosh, why God make it this way? I mean, this is like awful. Poor little butterfly just struggling and struggling and struggling. And so you're the compassionate watcher, observer. So you decide, let me help out Mother Nature here. So you go in with your little scissors and you cut that cocoon. Careful not to cut the butterfly, cut the cocoon. And so the butterfly goes, oh, that was easy. That butterfly dies. It cannot fly. It needs that struggle to build the little muscles in its wings so it can fly away. And unless it gets that struggle, it can't fly away. The same truth within ourselves. Sometimes struggle is a part of life. During that struggle, if we want to develop the strength and fly away to achieve our dreams, to make our dreams come true, we have certain needs and we have to be true to ourselves and persist. We will overcome those obstacles and achieve our goals. And that's the fourth element of personal success. Obstacles are inevitable. There are 12 major obstacles that we all face at different times. We have to learn how to identify those obstacles, face them, and overcome them. They're blocks to success. How to identify the block and move it out of the way. There's two ways to do it. One is intellectually. We got to do it on one hand. We got to understand the block and move it. And emotionally, we've got to let go of the feelings that cause us to hold on to the block. We have to release the negativity and clear up our thinking, and then the block goes and we can move ahead to achieve our goals. And personal success is literally within the reach of every single person on this planet today. And thank you all for being a big part of this new time. We're very lucky to be born at this time when so many opportunities exist for us. And to take this time to learn something new and make use of our potential is a great gift that we've all been given. And thank you for letting me be a part of your process as well as supporting me and mine. Thank you.
Well, I decided to attend the Mars Venus seminar because over the past 12 months, I've been going through a lot of growth in my life and have come across some emotional blocks that I had difficulty working through myself. And this opportunity came up, and I thought it was the perfect solution to those problems. I learned a lot more about myself from my past and from my childhood, and were able to work through those. I know a lot of the emotional problems that I have been having, and really did discover where they were coming from. And that's always half the solution, is to find out where they're coming from and what they are. I feel so much freer. I feel like I can conquer the world and do basically anything that I really want to do, and that it's about me and it's not about the rest of the world, but it's about me living my life.
Well, I decided to invest in the Mars Venus seminar because I had taped the 6 programs of John Gray's personal success seminars on Oprah. And I was amazed at the changes and the people taking part. I learned a lot from those tapes, but I wanted to experience it personally. A new insight for me was that I am a worthwhile person just the way I am. This has benefited me in that as I feel better about myself, I am able to give to others, and I'm just so much happier. Greatest benefits for me have been having confidence in myself. A special highlight, though, was attending the weekend with my daughter. We have always been close, but this has created an even closer bond between us. We have a complete understanding of each other's thoughts and feelings as a result of attending the seminar together. My personal highlight of the seminar was when Darren released a block that had been buried for 40 years. I felt so incredible after that, like a huge weight had been lifted from me. And I was able to take part joyously and confidently in the remainder of the seminar.
Well, I followed the John Gray Personal Success Seminar on Oprah and decided that I'd like to do that too. Life can move forward at the pace that you want it to move without a lot of drama. Once you start to remove the blocks that actually block you from moving forward, life changes dramatically. Well, during the seminar, one of the most dramatic changes, I suppose, I got to actually see my husband very, very differently again. And we're going to reaffirm our wedding vows in a couple of, very shortly, after being married for 25 years. So that was one of the most dramatic changes, I guess. And I think what I've seen there was that all the resentment that I had built up within myself over the years actually had nothing to do with him. but it was with me. And talking about that and removing certain blocks, I was able to talk about that resentment with him, and therefore, and then it dissipated. And I walked out into the break and I looked at my husband, and it was just like I'd seen him again for the first time and instantly fell in love with him all over again. So at the end of the seminar, I actually asked Darren for permission to ask Colin to remarry me. And it was a spur of the moment thing, and it was just like that's what needed to be done at that time. It was just so in love with him again that I asked him to reaffirm our wedding vows, and thankfully said yes. Since coming home from the weekend, it's just like there's a real calmness there, and if he does certain things, I now know that it's actually not personal to me. Since that weekend, the amount of acknowledgement that I have had about him as a person, and I can actually hear it and be very proud of who he is as a person, it just gives such an insight into the difference between male and female.
I found Darren and Jackie incredibly sensitive people. There are some very personal issues that can be brought up. Jackie and Darren together have an amazing ability to reach anybody, and that's a beautiful thing. All I can say about the Mars-Venus team is that they were incredibly welcoming. I felt so comfortable and so at home in their presence, not just Darren and Jackie's, but the whole team, that it was just like being with your own family, even though you'd only met most of these people that day.
Darren and Jackie were phenomenal. They were so caring and empathetic, and I really felt safe in the surroundings and the atmosphere that they created. The staff were fantastic. They were very welcoming and warm and full of energy, and the whole atmosphere was just one of caring and joy.
The assistants that helped in the room and that were moving around the centre and talking to us were just wonderful, always cheerful, always ready to have a chat, always there ready to help if we needed it. And Jackie and Darren, well, I just can't say enough about them. They're just two wonderful people and are able to deliver the seminar in a way that's clear, concise, and they're very gentle, caring people. After watching John Gray on Oprah and then having Jackie and Darren present it, it was like as if John Gray was in the room.
I'm easier to get along with. I'm more positive. I'm less judgmental. I'm happier. I would recommend that anyone who is at all dissatisfied with their life as it is now should go. My advice would be not to hesitate, just go, and go with an open mind. It could be the most life-changing experience they have ever had. It was for me.
I'd just say just go and do it. The process is so gentle, and it has such a way of have you move through those things that you come out the other end that it's just life takes on a whole different look. I'd recommend anybody to attend it, whether you're male, female, whether you're in the workplace, whether you're at home, anybody and everybody.
As you've heard from these past course participants, these hints and tips have changed people's lives for the better. Now it's your turn by attending an accredited course from John Gray's Mars-Venus Institute. You will gain life-changing hints and tips. Remember, this experience is only available from an accredited Mars-Venus seminar in your state. So call 1300 135 153. That's 1300 135 153. And start creating your personal success today.